welcoming Somerset and Williamsburg and our online campus and everybody here in London. Give them a huge hand. We're so glad that you are with us. You may be seated. You know, I don't know about you, but I struggle with my limitations. I have time limitations. I operate on a 60-second clock, a 60-minute hour, 24 hours a day. We have space limits. I can only be in one place at a time, in person. And I've got limits to human strength. This was on display a number of years ago when I was into CrossFit. Anybody ever tried CrossFit? All of us that have shoulder injuries, right? Okay. Well, I was in it, and I'm a pedal to the metal guy. When I go all in, I go all in. I'm not half in, half out. I'm all in. So, man, I was all into CrossFit all the way. The shoes, the look, the workouts, the whole deal. And I was in there one day, and we had a workout of the day that involved something with clean and jerks, and which is, if you don't know what that is, that's not cleaning up a jerk. That's a bar with, you know, weights on it, and you clean it, put it above your head. And so, man, I was in the workout feeling really good. First round, I did pretty good. Second round, felt even better. Then I looked to my left, and I saw this little woman with his little bony arms. She was like new, but she had more weight on the bar than I did. And she was slinging that thing around like a dish rag, man. She had no trouble with it at all. Then I said, man, I got to outdo her. I can't live with myself if that girl outdoes me. So I put more weight on the bar for the next round, and guess what? I got injured. Because we got limits to human strength. Are you with me? We do. Man, you guys, come on now. We got to wake up here. You guys awake? Come on, come on. Yeah, good. All right. Now, you guys ought to be the most rested. I mean, my word, it is, what is it, 12:03 right now? You ought to be full of coffee, lattes, frappuccinos. You ought to be well caffeinated. Here we go. So we live with limits. And so because of limits, we tend to see and struggle with Jesus' unlimited power. Because we tend to superimpose our limits of understanding, our limits of strength, our limits of, I can only give out so much mercy, then I just run out. Our limits of grace, I can only give it out so much and I run out. Our limits of things that we think Jesus is as limited as we are. And we struggle with that, especially when it comes to Jesus doing things like we've never seen before, or using me in a way that I've never experienced before, or calling me into something that makes me very uncomfortable. We tend to see the limits on his power. Now, today we're going into a story where Jesus puts on display that he really has no limits. We've been in the Gospel of John. We're going to begin chapter 6 today, and we've been learning about the power of Jesus, how he has the power to save people, poor people, rich people, all in between people. He has the power over human categories. Everybody matters regardless of what you have and don't have. And to say, today we're going to see his power over the course of nature. Here we go, verse 1, chapter 6. After this, Jesus crossed over to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias. A huge crowd, say huge crowd, kept following him wherever he went because they saw his miraculous signs as he healed the sick. Then Jesus climbed a hill and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the Jewish Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a huge crowd of people coming to look for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "Even if we worked for months, we wouldn't have enough money to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here. It's actually translated young man. He was an older, you know, like middle school, high school boy. Here with 5 barley loaves. Now, barley was the grain of animals. It's what they fed cattle with, and they fed chickens with, and they fed, you know, all that. It was what they fed livestock with. But it was also the grain that the poor used to bake bread. People that weren't poor used wheat. So obviously this guy was from a poor family. 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Now those fish are not like sea bass. Those are like little, small, pickled, mushy sardines. They would take that, they would mush those sardines on that bread and spread it like butter. It's like so gross, I can't even fathom it, but it is. Those little pickled sardines smeared on bread. But what good is that with this huge crowd? Tell everyone to sit down, Jesus said. So they all sat down on the grassy slopes. Now the men alone, because they only counted the men, that wasn't all that was in the crowd though, numbered about 5,000. So most scholars believe it could have been anywhere from 20 to like 30, 35,000 people. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish. And they all ate as much as they wanted. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, "Now gather the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. Now, this is a story on the kingdom economy, the kingdom of God. This is the way God has always and always will meet the needs of the time. There's 3 things we're going to notice in this story, and then we'll be through. Number 1, it starts with an overwhelming situation. You had 20 plus thousand people. Now, there was a story within the story here. A Jewish rabbi, as Jesus was referred to. Now, he wasn't a traditionally educated rabbi, but he was a rabbi because he had such authority in his teaching and people followed his teaching. It was the responsibility of a rabbi, if people came to hear you teach, that you provided food to feed them. Jesus knew this. These disciples knew this. They grew up in this culture. They're seeing thousands of people come, and they're coming to Jesus because Jesus has been meeting their needs. Jesus has healed many of them. He has saved many of them. Their lives are being transformed. They have experienced Jesus' presence and Jesus' power, and it drew the masses. And by the way, it still does. We don't have to be cute to reach people. We don't have to be cool to reach people. We celebrate, worship Jesus, invite Jesus to move, and I'm telling you what, he'll draw the masses right here to the Creek Church. Are you with me? Say amen. He had an overwhelming, they couldn't feed them. There's no food. This is not like you could run down to Kroger. It wasn't there, they didn't plan for it. So Jesus tests Philip. What was he testing inside of Philip? Philip's faith. Because faith that is never tested isn't faith. Faith becomes faith when it's tested. You can say you believe something, but until you step into it, you really don't believe it. I only believe the parts of the Bible that I choose to obey and live. I can say I believe it, but I only believe what I will obey and live. So he tests Philip. Philip, you're from Bethsaida here close by. Where can we go and get some food to feed these people? Now, Jesus knew what Philip was going to say. He was God. And Jesus knew he was going to meet the need. So why didn't Jesus just meet the need? Why didn't Jesus say, "Hey, Father, drop the bread," and just bread. Boom, 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 boom. Drop some more of these fish. Forget these sardines. Let's drop some sea bass in here. Come on now. Could he have done that? Yes, absolutely. Why didn't he do it? Because it's not the way the kingdom economy works. The kingdom economy is always done in the hands of God through the lives of people. In the hands of God through the lives of people. through the hands of God, through the lives of people. So Philip, where can we buy it? Jesus, we don't have anything. And we don't have enough money between all of us to go and buy enough food to feed these people. Now, Philip is a pragmatist. He's a realist. He's not a bad guy. He's just dealing in the natural. What he's not seeing is the guy's looking at Jesus Christ had just turned water into wine. Now, you would think if you just seen a guy turn water into wine, that you would have faith that he could do something. But Philip was like, you and I, we are a what have you done for me lately type of people. And we tend to see human limitations, human experiences like ours, our understanding to be all that Jesus can do. Let me tell you this, this will help you. The kingdom of God is massive. God uses churches that do church very different than us. God uses churches that don't have a building. God uses churches that meet by a riverbank. God uses churches that meet in cathedrals. God uses churches all kinds. When you start saying God never does, you've just not seen it. So then Andrew, Peter's brother, says, hey man, this young man, I think he saw, you know, what's going on. He gave me his lunch, but it's just five little dry barley pancakes and two mushy sardines. It's not enough. Now, when Andrew says this, this is the lie in the crowd. It's the lie that deep in their soul they believe. There's no way five loaves and two fish could feed more than one person. Truth is, it really wasn't enough to feed the young man, much less somebody more than him. And see, they saw what was given as not enough. It's just, it's useless, not enough. And that's exactly the pivot point for you and I. It's actually the tip of the story, the fulcrum that it hinges on. This is the deal. We believe, many of us in this room and watching in Somerset and Williamsburg and online, that what you have to give to Jesus is not enough. The needs are too big. What's my life? What's my talent? What's my gifting? What good is that in light of the insurmountable need that's here? There's other people that have more than I have. There's other people that are more talented than me. There's more other people. Brad, I'm bruised. I'm scarred. I don't know much about the Bible. I'm just coming back to church. I'm not enough. I can't sing. I get nervous in front of people. How could God use me? You see the tension there? When you think about all the needs, just in the room where you're at, of the lives of people, how? It's insurmountable. It's overwhelming. But here's how the kingdom economy works. It always starts with an overwhelming need. It starts like that in your life. You face an overwhelming situation, a sickness, finances, pain in your body, and just go on and on. You face an overwhelming. You cannot see how in the world this could be solved. In the natural, there's no way. But here's how the economy works. It starts with an overwhelming situation, then it moves to an open hand. This young man gives what he has. He gives his lunch. Overwhelming situation leads to an open hand. How God begins to meet the need is when people like you and me just open our hands. We don't know how it's going to work. We don't know how it's going to get fixed. We can't see all the way to the end. We can't even see to the other side of the room, much less to the end. We can't see it, but we say, God, I'm going to unlock my fist. I'm going to open my hand. I'm going to give you what I have. I'm going to lay it down, and God, you use it. Overwhelming situations, open hands. Overwhelming circumstances, open hands. Say it with me. Overwhelming situations, open hands. More than three of you. Here we go. Overwhelming situations, open hands. Say it again. Overwhelming situations, open hands. So here's my question for you. Where are you still clenching your fist? Maybe it's with your own soul. Like, I don't believe that Jesus could save me. I don't believe I could live up to it. So therefore, I'm not going to give it. My friend, listen to me. You can't live up to it. If you could live up to it, you wouldn't need Jesus. This is not about your strength. It's about an open hand. You don't get your life together, then give it to Jesus. You give it to Jesus, and he puts your life back together. So there is so much horsepower right here that if you were willing to open your hand, it's really unimaginable what all God could do through you, through our church here in London, Somerset, Williamsburg, what God could do. Open hand. You say, Brad, I'm not somebody you can use. I don't have. I can't. Let me tell you a story. Because see, here's what happens. We tend to think the only people God uses are people that can speak and sing. No way, man. God made no mistake by bringing you with your talent mix into this church. Let me show you how God used somebody that doesn't sing and doesn't speak. So we do Vacation Bible School big here, if you're new. We have a lot of new people that have come since the revival nights and got lots of new faces. And it's awesome. That's another reason that we need to open our hand, because we've got to build our teams. We've got to get stronger. We've got to steward all that God's bringing us. You guys with me on that? So I want you, before I tell you the story, I want you to take out this connection card, because we're going to use it in a little bit, and just put your name on it, and I'll tell you what to do with it in just a minute. It's on the seat back or on the seat you're sitting on or on the back of the seat in front of you. So the weekend before Vacation Bible School started, I was up here like on a Saturday just studying. Nobody was here. And I happened to walk in the lobby to pray. So I'm in here in London. I walk out into the lobby, and there's this massive waterfall that had been built. I didn't know it was built. I couldn't believe it. I'd never seen a church do anything like that. So throw a picture of it up, if you would, please. Picture of the waterfall. Okay, there it is. It was right out here. So the next day, I talked to some of our staff. I said, where in the world did we get this? This thing ought to be like in Bass Pro Shop. It ought to be like in the lobby of the Four Seasons Hotel. What? Where did we buy this? So we didn't buy it. Well, how did it get here? There's a guy that tends the creek. His name is Kenton Vaughn. He designed it. And then he and Cameron and Kristen Jervis and guys just put it together. Kenton laid it out. He designed it. And we just came along beside him to help him. He said, you built this with running water into a fountain, because it was the theme of Vacation Bible School. Now watch what happens when I open my hand. Take a look.
Everybody, this is Ben, and Ben is on the green team. Rest of his life.
Isn't that awesome? Give him a hand, man. Isn't that great? Now watch. Look. Kenton is asked to build a waterfall. Kenton builds a waterfall with a couple of the guys. And then children get baptized. That was never planned, by the way. It was spontaneous. See, what happens is, here's the economy again. Overwhelming situation leads to an open hand. The open hand leads to an only Jesus moment. It doesn't jump from overwhelming situation to only Jesus moment. It always travels through the open hand. Jesus tells them to sit down. He takes the lunch. He gives thanks for it. Then he begins to tear it and break it. Oh, so many principles here. Jesus tears it just like he tears us. We go through pain. We get our hearts ripped out. We get our legs knocked out from under us. We get betrayed. We feel alone. We go through seasons of depression. He just begins to break it. Break it. And break it. Then he distributed these little chunks of bread to the disciples. He said, now guys, go give it out. They're like, okay. They went and gave it out. He said, now come back here. Here's some more. Go give it out. When it left their hand, he gave them more. When it left their hand, he gave them more. He took the fish, same thing. He didn't just start throwing sardines like darts. He just pulled those fish apart, gave some to Peter, Bartholomew, and Andrew, and others. And when they gave it, when it left their hand, he gave them more. And over the course of minutes, maybe an hour or two, everybody got their belly full of barley loaves and fish. So much so that there was so much left over, it filled 12 baskets. And these aren't baskets like Easter baskets. These are baskets like laundry baskets, like trash cans of bread and fish. Because whatever I give away isn't wasted. Isn't that what it says? Nothing is wasted. Here's how it works. A girl, young lady, has a miscarriage. Her and her husband are devastated. Every time that date rolls around, there's a tug in their soul. And they hear a story like this, and they think, are you saying God can use the pain of a miscarriage? Who better to help another couple with a miscarriage than somebody that's had a miscarriage? Who better to help a young couple raising kids in elementary school or dropping their kids off to kindergarten for the first time than parents who dropped their kids off years before it for the first time? Who better to help a young couple who don't think their marriage can make it than people who struggled in that season and made it? Who better yet to make church awesome for kids than somebody that when you went to church as a kid, it wasn't awesome. It was boring. But you don't want it to be boring. And God's put a little stir in your heart. Hey, maybe you went to a church and they weren't friendly to you. Nobody talked to you. Who better yet to serve on guest services and welcome people than people that were treated rudely? The people that nobody talked to, you can do that in a way that that doesn't happen for other people. I can go on and on. When he puts it in my hand, and it leaves my hand. See, whatever God gives you is never to stay in your hand. it rots in your hand. Didn't Jesus say, if you try to hang on to your life, what's he say happens? You'll what? Lose it. But you find life by giving it away. I'm talking to some incredible people here at all of our locations. You're awesome. And the Creek Church is your home church. But you've not yet joined a team to serve in our volunteer army. A lot of you do serve. I'm not talking to you. But a lot of you that are listening to me right now, you've just never gotten involved. To you, I mean, you're not probably not even thinking about it. Like, somebody just takes care of that. Somebody makes that happen. Somebody gets that done. Every time I've gone, it works. I don't think there's a need. Somebody does it. We want to move as a church from a somebody church to I am somebody church. Now, when you take out this card, put your name, information on it, as much as you're comfortable with, and on the far right, on the bottom, I want you to check this box that says join a serve team. I'm going to give you a chance to use this in just a moment. Here's what I'm actually going to do. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag. We're going to stand in a few minutes when I'm done. I'm almost done. And I'm going to invite you to bring that card down here and lay it at the altar. Last service, we had people come, lay them all over the altar. Now, I'm not talking to people that are already serving. I'm talking to all of you who are not. I'm going to challenge you to come in just a moment and lay it at the altar right here on the stage. Or you can put it on the steps. When I'm open-handed, see, I encounter the presence of Jesus. Had the lunch never been given, they would have never experienced the miracle. But one boy who didn't have enough to feed himself, God used him to feed 30,000 people. See, the God math is never addition. God math is multiplication. You plant an apple seed, you don't get one apple back with one seed. You get thousands of apples with bunches of seeds over and over. God math is multiplication. And God wants to multiply your life. My life, your life. Paul Yonggi Cho, pastor of the Yodo, Y-O-I-D-O, Yodo Full Gospel Church in Seoul, Korea. Dr. Cho was a sickly man ever since he was young. He didn't have a lot of physical strength. But God was using him mightily to start a church in the post-Korean War era, the late 50s, early 60s in Korea. And the church really began to grow. And they grew to maybe 1,000, 2,000 people. And they needed to buy a building. And so at that time, to facilitate all the population growth in South Korea, the government started filling in parts of the ocean and created a new land space where they could build buildings and homes and all this stuff. So the church did, they went out and borrowed the money to buy this piece of land and to build their own building. Well, they got the foundation done and all the under earth stuff done. They got the steel, you know, trusses and all the walls up, you know. But no ceiling, no, I mean, it was just bars, just steel. And the economy bottomed out in South Korea. Their currency was worth nothing, and people lost their jobs. The church could not pay the loan. It was accruing penalties every month. And he was so distraught, overwhelming situation, remember? That this pastor was contemplating taking his own life. It was that overwhelming. So all he knew to do was just gather some of the people that were left, go to this, you know, shell of a building, sit on the concrete and pray. And it was wintertime. It was snowing. So he got the word out. About 100 people met him out there one evening after they got off of work. And he shared what was happening. Of course, they already knew. He said, we're going to pray for God to either meet this need or tell us how to shut this thing down. So they began to pray. And after they prayed for quite a bit of time, he just shared some things that God was doing in his heart. And about that time, a little lady, made her way from the back of the crowd in the snow. And she came down front. And he said she had something covered in like a towel in her hand. And she pulled back the towel, and it was a bowl with two chopsticks in it. And she goes, Dr. Cho, I want to give this to the church, to Jesus. He said, I know who you are. I can't take this. I know you. This is your only possession. She goes, you said Jesus deserves my everything. And all I have is this. He was so emotionally moved, and so was the crowd, that a businessman in the back said, hey, I'll give you $12,000 for that bowl and two chopsticks. And all of a sudden, people started responding. And God did it was an only Jesus moment. They raised the money on that concrete slab in the snow to pay for the building. When I read this story, Dr. Cho said, our church had a couple thousand people then. At this time, we average over 750,000 people a week at church. It became the largest church in the world. And he said it all started with a little woman in a snowstorm on a concrete slab that gave her a bowl and two chopsticks. Overwhelming situation. Open hand. Only Jesus moment. I want to let our campus pastors take this moment if they would. And if you guys will begin to lead in Somerset, Williamsburg. Here in London, let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Where is the Holy Spirit moving in you right now? What has he been shining the flashlight on that you've been holding in your death grip? That today's the day to open your hand. Is it your soul? Am I talking to a man or a woman in this room that you don't believe that Jesus can forgive all your sins? That he can change your life? And wipe your... Is there anybody that... You said, Brad, I'm just afraid that if I open my hand, he'll reject me. He won't. I'm afraid if I open my hand, I can't live up to it. Like I said earlier, you can't. You don't get it cleaned up and then give to Jesus. You give it to Jesus and then he takes care of the cleanup. With heads bowed and eyes closed across this room, if you say, Brad, I want to open my hand and give my soul to Jesus and be born again and experience that. With heads bowed and eyes closed right now, just put your hand up in the air. Brad, that's me. I want to give my life. Thank you so much. Put your hands up. I want to give my life to Jesus. All right. I want to invite you right where you are to pray with me. Just a simple prayer like this privately in your heart. Just say, Dear Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner, that I cannot earn your forgiveness. I cannot earn salvation. But I believe you died on a cross and rose again for me. And today I'm turning my back on doing life my way. I'm repenting and I'm turning to you, Jesus, and I invite you to come live in me and power wash me clean from the inside of my soul out. I'm choosing to follow you as my leader and my Lord from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that with me across this room, would you just raise your hand across the room? Come on, let's cheer for him, guys. Come on now. Raise your hands across the room. Thank you. If you did that, take this card, if you would, fill it out, and then where it says follow Jesus, check that. Now, the next box is to be baptized. Have you been biblically baptized? Biblical baptism comes after the decision to give your life to Jesus, and it's by immersion down into the water and up. Have you been baptized? Biblically baptized? Said, Brad, I don't know. Then today's your day. Open the hand. Now, as I said a moment ago, let's all stand together. I'm talking to all of you that are not yet on a team before today. And by the way, don't worry about where we'll place you where you're strong. We're not going to stick you, if you don't like kids, we're not going to stick you with middle school boys, okay? We're not going to do that to you. We love you too much to do that. All right, we're not going to do that. Some of you would love that, but others wouldn't. You're just saying, God, I want to be used however, wherever. So I'm going to count to three. They're going to begin to sing behind me, and I want to invite you to step out, bring this card, if you're not on the team, and lay it at the altar. Don't wait on anybody else. It's a funny thing. When one person begins to move, it empowers everybody else to begin to move. So you might be the first person. That's okay. Step out and come on number three. Here we go. One, two, three. Just give my hand, guys. Come on. Thank you. Come on down. Thank you, ma'am. I'm proud of you. Thank you. Come on down, buddy. Come on down. Look at this. This is awesome. Come on. Amen. Amen. This is fantastic. This is awesome. Thank you, Jesus. This is great. So proud of y'all. So proud of you. Look at this. Man alive, this is awesome. Give him a hand again. Come on, this is amazing. I love it. I love it. So proud of you. This is amazing. It's amazing. Listen, our altar is open. If you want to come for prayer, we're here for you. I'd like some of our prayer team to get in place in case people would like to pray with someone. If you're going through an illness, whatever's going through, we're here for you. I'm going to ask Zach and Sarah to lead. If you want to come and pray, you can come, and then we're going to baptize in just a moment.